Hey everyone, welcome in. It's another edition of the Wobcast. I'm your host, Mike Wobshaw, coming to you from TCO Studios, Twin Cities Orthopedic Studios at Winter Park. Producer Nate Vaughn is here, and we're going to talk about the Vikings. Yeah, we're not playing in any games, but there's a lot of stuff going around your favorite football team right now. The Vikings are spread out everywhere. It's a busy time. We have the Senior Bowl going on in Mobile, Alabama, so Nate has put together some sound from that. We have the Pro Bowl going on in Orlando, and we have the Super Bowl coming up on the horizon. There's lots of stuff going on, and we're going to talk about all of it. And Nate, you've pulled some sound together to help get us through it and to help us analyze it. So we got a lot of stuff to get to today.
That we do. Lots going on.
Even fan mail.
Yeah, even fan mail. We'll get to that at the end, though.
Yeah, that'll be coming up later. We're going to start with head coach Mike Zimmer. Our own Craig Peters is down at the Senior Bowl in Mobile with Mike Harris. They're capturing content, written and video, from Mobile, Alabama, where some of the country's top seniors are practicing in front of every team's coaches and scouts. But Mike and Craig took a minute. They caught up with head coach Mike Zimmer, and they asked him a few questions. That interview is up right now on Vikings.com. We're not going to play any sound from that interview right now, but we're going to talk about a couple of things maybe that we took away, because Nate, I know you listened to it. I did as well. One thing that I took away from coach's interview was the changes to the coaching staff. You know, it was the first time we really heard Mike Zimmer talk about the fact that Pat Shurmur is now the offensive coordinator. The interim tag was removed. That Kevin Stefanski has been moved to quarterbacks coach. That we've hired Kenny Polamalu from UCLA to be the running backs coach. That we've hired Clancy Barone away from the Broncos to be the tight ends coach. And that Coach Zimmer is looking forward to somewhat of a fresh start for the Vikings offense under a new system. So I thought that was interesting. I know that you watched the interview probably on the Vikings app, which you listeners can go and do when you're done listening to the Wobcast. So anything interesting for you from that interview with Coach Zimmer?
I thought it was interesting listening to him talking about the Senior Bowl. He said he likes being there. You can tell he's more kind of in his element than maybe doing some of like the other stuff that head coaches have to do, like talk to the media and stuff. He's more kind of in his element down there. And he was talking about how it's fun, but it can be difficult to pay attention to everything going on because it's all happening at once. Mm-hmm. And like when he's roaming around practice out here, you know, he's only focusing on one group at a time, just the group he's with.
Yeah.
And he can do that there, but he said he relies on his assistants, but he also relies on friends he's made throughout the league.
Yeah.
From other teams and stuff.
And they tell him stuff, he said.
Yeah. So that's kind of cool that relationships kind of still extend beyond your current employer.
Yeah.
So I thought that was cool.
Yeah, and Craig asked him about a few other things, including his eye. And so if you're curious to know what Coach Zimmer is thinking right now about various different things, you can catch that interview. It's up on Vikings.com right now. That's the Senior Bowl down in Mobile. We have more on the Senior Bowl coming up in the show. So if you're curious about that, stay tuned, because we're going to get into more Senior Bowl talk here in a minute. Pro Bowl, Orlando. We have a PR guy, a Vikings PR guy is down there, Sam Newton. We have Lindsey Young, our very own writer, who's also taken photographs. And we have Jordan Strzok and Alan Wertheimer, who are down there for VEN. So we got a crew down in Orlando capturing content. It's finally starting to come back to Minnesota because practices have now begun. I believe we have a player wired for practice down there, right? Is that correct?
Yeah, it sounds like it.
So
should be some cool content
coming. Yeah, more stuff coming there. So stay tuned if you're interested in some Pro Bowl stuff. Super Bowl on the horizon. We're going to do more Super Bowl talk and Super Bowl preview and predictions and all of that next week on the Wobcast when the game is a little bit closer. But that's coming up. That'll be down in Houston. One connection to Minnesota and the Vikings and the Super Bowl this year is the fact that the Vikings / the state of Minnesota will be hosting the Super Bowl next year. So the Houston host committee is about done with its journey, and it will officially hand off the duty of hosting the Super Bowl to the Minnesota host committee on Monday, the day after the Super Bowl, a week from this Monday. So we may have some coverage and some footage and some imagery from events related to that here coming up in the next 10 to 14 days on Vikings.com. Lastly, before we get in and dig deep on the Senior Bowl, the Vikings announced today that they have formed a women's advisory board. The release that we sent out states the Minnesota Vikings have announced the creation of the Vikings Women's Advisory Board, the 7-person board, which includes local and national business founders and executives, will assist the Vikings in the effort to maximize the team's engagement with female fans and employees and will advise on strategies to advance the goals of Vikings women. So kind of a cool progressive thing that the Vikings have done. One person on that board is Lindsay Whalen of the Minnesota Lynx. A big Vikings fan, someone who listens to the Wobcast.
Certainly.
So congratulations to Lindsay on being named to the Vikings Women's Advisory Board. One last thing before we go to Senior Bowl. The East-West Shrine Game was one of the head coaches in that game was our very own George Edwards.
Right.
And so Craig Peters also caught up with George Edwards down at the Senior Bowl to talk about his experience coaching in the East-West Shrine Game.
I tell you, it was the first time I've really actually gone to the game. It was a great experience. I mean, just there's a lot of history to the game, and I guess this is the first time the NFL has been affiliated with active coaches coaching it. And it was a great experience, great being around the kids, but just all the work that the Shriners do with the children hospitals, and just it was very educational for me, and I think the kids had a good time, and you know, working with coaches amongst other staffs and getting to know them. It was a great experience. We really enjoyed our week and hope we got some good evaluations out of it.
You had some friendly faces?
Well, we weren't able to pick. They kind of picked the staffs. Okay. But I think it worked out pretty good. It was a sort of a combination of guys from different, you know, programs, organizations that I've never worked with that I got to know during the course of the week. And I think it was good to sit and talk about different problems we run into schematically, different things fundamentally, and kind of work through those things and then come together with a cohesive plan to play in the game that week. So it was really exciting, and we enjoyed ourselves. And I think we got around the kids, got a chance to know them, and hopefully help them along this process as they're getting ready for the draft.
Fun to work with both sides of the ball?
Yeah, it really was. I mean, it was really good. Fortunate for me, Kevin Stefanski was our offensive coordinator, and Hank was our offensive line coach, and Andrew Janoco was our tight end coach. So I had some familiarity with our offense, which really helped out a lot. But no, those guys did a tremendous job, and they made my job easy during the course of the week.
Defense, it was a defensive themed day.
Yeah, it was very low scoring day, and from that aspect of it, being a defensive guy, I kind of liked the way that turned out. But it was very enjoyable. It's hard, on a group of young guys just coming into this league. All of a sudden, they're learning new techniques, new terminology, new fundamentals, and to get them cohesive and the timing of an offense down in the course of a week, it's pretty tough. So we thought it would be a little bit more defensive oriented.
And then at the end of the game, I believe some of your players managed to dash it with the Gatorade.
Yeah, that one kind of caught me off guard a little bit. But no, it was all in fun. It was adjusting. Those guys, they really worked hard for us during the course of the week, and it was a very enjoyable week for us, and hopefully they got a lot out of it.
How about that? A Gatorade shower for George Edwards.
Yeah.
So the deal with that is, like, Edwards is a coordinator, and so what the new protocol is, you take a group of coordinators, and the East-West Shrine Game is going to choose two of them to be head coaches, and then you take some assistant coaches, and two of them are going to be coordinators on each team. So you take assistant position coaches and make them position coaches. That's what the East-West Shrine Game is doing. I think that's a cool thing to do as well, to give some of these coaches more experience, because if you make an NFL head coach be the head coach at the East-West Shrine Game, they may not get as much out of it or put as much into it as
right.
A coordinator may put into it, a coordinator who aspires to be a head coach one day. So kind of a cool thing that the East-West Shrine Game did this year, and George Edwards benefited from that. He even got a Gatorade shower because his squad, the West squad, won the game. One thing I thought was interesting from what Coach Edwards said was not even taking into account the college players who are in the game, just talking scheme and strategy with the coaches on his staff who are coaches from other teams. It was interesting for him to go through that exercise because you bounce ideas off of each other, and it's like, hey, we run this 4-3 defense and we face this challenge when we're going against a spread offense, you know. And so George Edwards may have an offensive coach on his staff at the East-West Shrine Game who runs the spread offense, and now they're talking about, you know, the challenges going against each other. I think that's probably a pretty cool part of the experience for those coaches. But now George is in an area where he's got a little more familiarity. The Senior Bowl down in Mobile, he said it's his 15th Senior Bowl, so he's obviously pretty comfortable down there. One thing that's cool for the coaches at the Senior Bowl, Nate, and you've been there, so you'll understand this, as have I, is, you know, the scouts, NFL scouts are on the road all season. They don't just go to games to scout. They go to practices. So the scouts have seen these players in a practice environment. NFL coaches have not. They haven't even really watched film of them,
right?
Of these college players. And they're going to be coaching them next year.
Yeah.
So it's probably pretty cool for the NFL coaches, seriously, to go down there and watch these guys practice and see what their habits are and who loves the game and who finishes plays and all of that. Because, I mean, we joke about how when it gets closer to the draft, you know, we're going to be like, oh, we,
experts.
Yeah, with this guy, oh, his pad level, he keeps his pad level low, you know. And, like, I don't know five players that are going to be in the draft this year right now.
Yeah.
You know,
I'm with you.
But 2 months from now, I'm going to know all these. Well, I mean, the NFL coaches are kind of the same. I mean, they haven't watched tape yet of these guys.
Yeah, if your NFL coach is watching tape of college players during your NFL season, there's probably something wrong there.
You got some time management problems, I would say. So, you know, kind of an eye-opening experience for NFL coaches down at the Senior Bowl as well. All right, speaking of the Senior Bowl, we've got some sound here that Nate has found and he's cut up for you. So the NFL Network experts down there include a couple of our favorites, Nate. Mike Mayock, who used to call Vikings preseason games and remains someone that we can lean on from time to time, especially at the Combine. And then Daniel Jeremiah, who is a co-host on the Move the Sticks podcast, which we use a lot here in the Wobcast. So those guys have some thoughts after day one and day two of practice that you have found and put together. So here's Daniel Jeremiah and Mike Mayock after day one of practices at the Senior Bowl.
College football's premier senior showcase and kind of a convention here with the agents and all the personnel people here in Mobile, Alabama. Also, our personnel gurus, Mike Mayock and Daniel Jeremiah. DJ, who are you looking forward to seeing at the 2017 Reese's Senior Bowl?
One of the loaded positions in this draft is a tight end position. I believe we've got two of the three best tight ends in the draft class here in Mobile. One everybody knows about, O.J. Howard from Alabama. We've seen all the big plays he's made in their playoff games over the last 2 years. But there's another tight end from the state of Alabama, from South Alabama, Gerald Everett, who's one of the more athletic tight ends we've seen the last few years. So side by side this week, I'm really looking forward to watching those guys.
And the tight ends are by far one of the deepest positions that we're going to see coming up in the draft, which, oh, by the way, is the night of April 27th in Philadelphia. That's a few months off. Now, not everybody is here. Phil Savage puts together a great roster, both sides, the North and the South, every year. Mike, who would you have liked to have seen here?
You know, I look at this game as an opportunity, and if you're Jonathan Allen from Alabama, you don't need to be here. You're a top five pick, and we all know it. But there's some guys that may think they're first-round picks and needed this week to prove it. Dede Westbrook, wide receiver, Oklahoma. Had a great year, but he's 170 pounds, has some off-the-field issues. Nobody knows where they can beat quality press coverage, whether he can run route. It's all space kind of stuff in the Big 12 Conference. Dede Westbrook, you need to be here. Taco Charlton, defensive end from Michigan. Another guy where if you come here and have a big week, you win every rep in the one-on-one, you can shoot up a draft board. Ziggy Ansah a few years ago ended up at number 5. I don't understand why Taco Charlton isn't here this week.
When we get to Houston in 2 weeks, you're going to see 30 players thereabouts that were here at the Reese's Senior Bowl. Last year, 4 first-round picks, undoubtedly that many, if not more, coming up in April.
You know, we hear so much from our own head coach and GM in the pre-draft process, and they're always very complimentary of every position because they don't want to show their cards on what they might be thinking for the draft. So it's cool when you get these guys who don't have to make decisions for a team because they can just be brutally honest, and they will make statements that, you know, they're not riding the fence. And so Daniel Jeremiah says that this is a very deep tight end class and that two of the three best tight ends in this class are down in Mobile. So that'll be a little bit of a storyline for us to follow, I think. Also, I think that the sound clip, Nate, that you put together right there kind of introduces the super interesting discussion point on if you are a player and you know that you're going to be drafted fairly early, like in the first round, you know, where is the point where it just doesn't do you any good to participate in any of this stuff? Because if you rip an ACL or tear a shoulder in these all-star game practices or at the combine, you know, you've severely hurt your stock at a time when you couldn't have gone much higher anyway. At the same time, we just talked about these coaches haven't seen you play much. They haven't seen you practice at all. And if their first impression of you is you're sitting out because you don't want to get hurt, you know, a guy like Mike Zimmer doesn't really take a liking to that. You know, I mean, week 17 was a quote-unquote meaningless game for the Vikings, but Zimmer played all of his starters. So obviously he values guys playing it through all the way to the end. It's one of those things that gets brought up a lot this time of year for the players. Like, are you going to participate in these all-star games or not? And, you know, a lot of them get criticized for their decisions.
Yeah, and there's a lot of different angles to it, too. Like you said, it's the ability for a player to get injured. Hopefully, if they are injured, it's not a significant injury, but it could be. Mm-hmm. You know, it could be something that threatens their availability to be ready come training camp or beyond.
Yeah.
Then I'm sure you have different messages from agents depending on the player.
You know,
maybe your agent's like, you know, you need to prove something this week. Go out there. Mm-hmm. And some of the agents are, you have nothing to prove. Don't you dare go out there.
Right.
You know. And I'm sure there's a bunch of different spots in the middle of those mm-hmm. two. So, and then, you know, the coaches can't really say, oh, I wish this kid was out here. They can't say that.
Right.
But they can certainly think that.
Yeah. And Mayock has always been a big, hey man, get out here and compete, you know, especially to the quarterbacks at the combine. Cause that's a big one. Some of the quarterbacks refuse to throw at the combine because they're not familiar with the receivers and the routes and all that. And they don't want to look bad. And Mayock is like, hey, we're not going to criticize you for that. We want to see your arm strength and we want to see, you know, come out here and let it rip, you know? So one person who now is at the center of this type of discussion is Western Kentucky's Forrest Lamp. Who is he? Well, listen to this. Mike Mayock explains.
Been an awful lot of conversation about the offensive line. Not real good, not real deep. Who's the best interior offensive lineman in this entire class? And the guy I've been talking about is Forrest Lamp, and I thought he had a really good morning, had one whiff on one-on-one, but outside of that, tight hands, locked a lot of people out. Thought he really played well. Now, if you say who might compete with him to be the best interior offensive lineman, Dan Feeney from Indiana, remember a concussion early in the year, came out this afternoon, and I thought he had a really solid day of practice. So Feeney's trying to drag himself back up there, and Lamp's trying to say, hey, I'm a first-round pick.
And two guys that stood out to me, Mike, from the state of Alabama, you look at tight end O.J. Howard. I thought he was the best player on the field if you look at either practice. He was outstanding. Several one-handed catches. Just everything he does is just so smooth and easy. He had an outstanding day. And then their rival at Auburn, Montrevious Adams, the defensive tackle, I thought showed a lot of power and a lot of push in the one-on-one drills. He helped himself as well.
Interested, obviously, for Vikings fans and their reaction on Forrest Lamp, because Vikings fans want the team to address the offensive line, and Forrest Lamp may be one of the better offensive linemen in this year's class. He got hurt at the Senior Bowl on the first day of practice, a high ankle sprain, according to his agent. He played left tackle at Western Kentucky, but a lot of people think he could slide inside to play guard. Right now he's hurt, so it will be interesting to see how the rest of the pre-draft process goes for a guy like Forrest Lamp. Dan Feeney from Indiana. Nate, you being a big college football Big Ten guy, may or may not have much familiarity with this guy, but there's something that I like about Big Ten offensive linemen. Like, if I'm going to get an offensive lineman, I love that he's from the Big Ten.
Yeah, Big Ten's not really known for their speed, although it's gotten better with Ohio State and Michigan in the past few years, but they always have been known for their linemen.
Now, the big, beefy, corn-fed guys, you know?
Yeah.
Like, those guys can block.
Yeah.
We like those guys. So, Daniel Jeremiah likes the Alabama tight end O.J. Howard and the Auburn defensive tackle Montrevious Adams. So those will be two names that maybe we can watch here coming down the line. always interesting to hear from Mayock and Jeremiah their thoughts on the pre-draft process and the Senior Bowl. That's what they had to say about day one. Here's what they had to say about day two of practices at the Senior Bowl.
A lot of people have been talking about Hassan Reddick, Daniel Jeremiah, Mike Mayock, and Hassan Reddick, I think, has given those people a lot to talk about when he gets back on the field.
Yeah, and I thought it was a big day and an important day for Hassan Reddick because it's 6'1 and a half, 237. He played with his hand in the dirt at Temple. Now, he came out today, and he did a great job, not just rushing the quarterback where he's comfortable, but back in pass coverage, both man-to-man, which he did a great job, and zone. So now when you look at this kid, he can play on the ball, he can play off the ball, and he'll be a four-team core special teams player. His value has moved up this week.
And I know you like the Temple kids. You always do, but this kid, Hassan Reddick, has truly backed it up. He is Temple tough. DJ, who did you like today?
Well, I'm going to make sure I get the name right. Obi Mellon Fonwu from Connecticut. Who knew the Northeast is football factories? Now we got Temple, now we got UConn. 6'4", 219-pound safety. He was flying across the field today. He caught my eye, and he caught the eye of a lot of evaluators in the stadium.
Yeah, at 6'4", he is a big safety. But you said before, it's about matchups. Don't have to call him a safety. You just use him on a tight end, on a tall wideout, on whomever, week in, week out.
I watched his tape against Boston College, and he flashed for me with an ability to open his hips and drive with great range and also tackle. DJ, you and I both saw him make a play on the goal line today. Ooh. Where he made up so much distance in a short amount of time, you kind of go, wow, it opens up a whole new vista of how you might want to use this kid.
This is a good example, Nate, of what we're talking about earlier, where Jeremiah and Mayock, they don't work for a team, so they can say guys who stand out. You're not going to hear Mike Zimmer or Rick Spielman say, oh, yeah, that linebacker from Temple, he had a great day. I think he can be a first-round pick. You know, but here Mike Mayock is saying that about Temple outside linebacker Hassan Reddick, so he'll be a fun player to watch. Now, on one hand, we're stacked at linebacker. On the other hand, we've taken linebackers high in the last two drafts, so maybe that's something Mike Zimmer wants to keep doing. So be interesting to watch guys like Reddick and some of the other players at that position. I remember watching a couple of linebackers when I've been at the Senior Bowl. Audie Cole was at the 2012 Senior Bowl.
We know that name.
Yes, we do, because he's one of us. And Bobby Wagner was also at the 2012 Senior Bowl. So when you stand out as a linebacker at the Senior Bowl, you got a chance to make it in the league. In the names that are hard to pronounce department, Daniel Jeremiah found one in Obi Melifonwu.
We would say he aced the test, but we don't really know for sure.
Right,
either,
and we don't even know if I just said it right. Yeah. But a safety with size, we know about that. We drafted Jayron Kearse last year, also a 6'4 safety. And it sounds like this kid from UConn is a big safety, which is good in a matchup league, which, funny, the NFL is a matchup league. Okay, last thing from the Senior Bowl, Nate. You put together a bunch of sound from some NFL national experts like Tom Pelissero. Our crew down in Mobile caught up with some of these guys. Here's a collection of sound from some of the national experts that we like.
It's a getting to know you process probably for all these college prospects because you're so busy during the season with NFL.
Yeah, especially the coaches. The coaches have virtually no exposure to these guys, certainly not in person prior to this. You've got the area scouts who have been doing it, some of the over-top national scouts, the GMs have, you know, probably gone into some games, have seen some of these guys. But, you know, frankly, you got some small school guys here that you're just not, you know, at a high level probably going through those schools. And so getting a chance to see how those guys compete against some of the higher level prospects. I know that's one of the big things that people like to keep an eye on here.
Well, this week's for all of us is about networking and that sort of thing too. But I think it's the start to the process for every team, and for 30 or 32 teams, they're already on to 2017. And it's interesting. I mean, I think you're always looking at the quarterbacks, of course, and the Peterman kid from Pitt, I think, has made a good first impression. Davis Webb from Cal is another one to watch. You know, it doesn't have the big name that we had last year in Carson Wentz. But I think overall it's a good group and there's good talent. And that's what you hear about the draft class in general, and that is that they, when you look at the totality of it, it's not particularly strong at quarterback. It's not particularly strong in the offensive line, but everywhere else is really, really good.
Some of the major powerhouses on display here, but also they go to great lengths to find some hidden gems and bring them here in front of people, don't they?
Yeah, I mean, it was interesting. I actually just met one of the kids who's from a school in Vancouver, like a Division II school in Vancouver, who, I don't think thought he'd get here at all. You know, like it was surprised that he was able to get invited, and has made a good positive impression, you know, and for those kids, this is a great opportunity. You know, if you're a Division I AA or a, I guess it's called FBS now, but or FCS now, but or a Division II kid, this is just a fantastic opportunity for every one of those guys to see how they stack up against kids from big schools. And it's a great chance for the you know, the coaches and the scouts to take a look at what these guys that they're going to be looking at on tape look like against competition from you know, better programs.
Some of these guys I've obviously seen watching college football, but when we do what we do during the season, it's tough to really get into the depth of it. So you're seeing a couple of guys, oh yeah, I remember that guy. That guy made a couple plays in whatever game I was watching. So it's good to see them out here kind of against similar competition and see what they could do individually and talk to some guys and get and say, hey, look, I saw this guy during the season, and then get their read on it. Sometimes you're right, sometimes you're wrong, and sometimes you're right and they're wrong, and you find out a couple years later, hey, that's the guy I saw out there. So I enjoy this week to kind of compare some notes and see where some of these guys are.
Can't beat 72 and sunny.
No, can't beat that either. Yeah. I mean, I don't know what it is in Minnesota right now, but it's definitely not 72 and whatever it is right here. No, or in Jersey where I live too. Yeah. So just to let you know that.
It seems like a really, really deep group. You know, quarterback wise, probably not so much. Not that Vikings really need to worry about that. But for, you know, a lot of the quarterback needy teams, it's really not a great quarterback group this year. But overall depth is really good. And so, you know, for the teams, they get here, they get to see some of these guys. They match the actual bodies and what they're like in person to what they see on film. And then everyone gets to come here and gossip, which I know everybody really enjoys as well. The main thing for me is you're sort of just compiling now, you know, and even now, like for us reporting-wise, there's really not a ton to do. You sort of just say, what do you think of this guy? What do you think of this guy? Where's he? And you sort of go put it in a pile, and then after the Super Bowl, after free agency, you start to say, like, all right, what do we know? Where do guys fit in? You start to get an understanding for what teams are looking for, what they didn't hit in free agency, and then it all – it's kind of like a puzzle that all comes together, but really now you're just getting like the beginning stages of just like, who are these guys? How do they fit? Who do teams like? Who do they not? Who do they need to know more about? What injuries? Like, start all putting it together.
Well, I always love coming out here and getting to know the personalities, meeting the kids. I think you can read about them a lot and watch them on film, but once you get here and kind of get to hear their stories, I think that's kind of when I have a connection with them. But I think what's kind of stood out to me today particularly is the tempo in which they played with. I mean, I think the coaches, Greg Williams, the new defensive coordinator for the Browns, I think just has them working, right? We even see it get a little chippy at the end with a few guys kind of going at it together, right? But yeah, I think it's just a great week to kind of get to know the players, and I'm always shocked as I kind of finish and look back a couple years later. I'm like, oh, they were there? Like, oh my gosh, you know? So I think it's just a great event all around.
I think last year Sterling Shepard was really boosting his stock here. Anyone in particular that you've seen so far this year?
I think what's maybe a few of the conversations that I've had, I mean, I think there's so many guys that everybody watches on tape, and then I think it's kind of more about validation when you come down and does that guy kind of match up to what I saw on tape? Again, I'm kind of a softie, and I like the storylines, you know. So, like, I got to talk to Josh Dobbs yesterday, the quarterback from Tennessee, and I mean, just, you know, he's an aeronautical engineering major. His goal after football is to build an airplane. Just a super thoughtful kid. So I think, you know, those storylines kind of stick out to me.
It sounds like some of the experts we lean on, they're doing their homework.
Yeah, and some of them are just as clueless at this point as we are.
Right.
But with the goal to not be so.
Right.
So.
Sounds like we're going to have Craig back in the studio next week or the week after to kind of review some of the things that he saw and heard. Not so much to get his opinion on specific players, because that's maybe not something that we should do, but just to get his general thoughts and observations from what he heard other people saying and talking about and what it was like down there. And maybe he ran into Kenny Polamalu.
Yeah.
You know, our new running backs coach. Maybe he's got an opinion on him. So we'll see if we can twist Craig's arm and get him back in here. All right. Before we conclude this episode of the Wobcast, Nate, let's do some fan mail. We got three of them here. Let's go with number one.
Number one is, if by chance we lose Patterson, do you think we will receive a compensatory pick?
Aha. Tough to know. First of all, we don't know if we're going to re-sign Cordero or not. If you don't re-sign one of your free agents and then that player goes and signs with another team, there's a chance that you can receive a compensatory pick, not in the upcoming draft, but in the one after that. But it's a complicated formula, because what goes into account is the size of deal that player signed with his new team, and then what his stats were in the first season with his new team. And then you look at the free agents that you signed and how big were the deals and how well did they play. And if you're at a net loss in free agency from the year prior, the league may award you a compensatory pick. But if you're a wash or you're a net gain in free agency activity from the year prior, you do not receive a compensatory pick. So we don't know the answer to this question, A, because we don't know who we're going to re-sign and not re-sign, and B, we don't know what kinds of deals the players who we lose are going to get, how they're going to play, and then the new free agents that we got, and whether we're going to be at a net gain or a net loss. So unfortunately, there's no way to answer that question, but the situation with Cordero will be an interesting one to watch this offseason.
Second question is from Darren. He says, injuries were not limited to the offensive line of the Vikings, and also that injuries were not limited to the Vikings overall as a team. For instance, the Packers had a high number of injuries to deal with well, especially down the stretch. Are more injuries a product of the CBA? I can't help but recall the lack of injuries from teams in the 70s and 80s compared to modern times.
Yeah, okay. So this is... the thing with the 70s and 80s and comparing them to now is the diagnostic ability and technology is so much better now than it was in the 70s and 80s. So I don't know that it's players get hurt more now. I think it's we're more cognizant of it. And so, yeah, there are more players who miss time because of injury, but also players' careers are longer now and their life after football is better now because they're not playing through injuries they shouldn't be playing through. Now, the CBA question is interesting because, you know, there's less practice time in the offseason now, so the question is, does that lead to more injuries because it's not a rigorous offseason of practice, therefore your body is less prepared for the rigors of the regular season? Or are you one who believes more practice time equals more injuries? So less practice time equals less injuries. I think this is a debate that you could have till the cows come home, and I don't know who would be right or wrong. So the first question or the first part of Darren's question, I would say I don't really know. I tend to think that more practice equals more injuries, but I think less practice equals poorer technique and poorer play, and I think poor technique can lead to injuries. So that's a little dicey. The second part of this, though, is I don't think it's fair to say that players today get injured more than players before. I think they get injured at about the same rate. It's just that the care for the players now is better, and so it causes them maybe to miss more games or more time than they did in the 70s and 80s, but it's better for the players in the long run.
Final question from Brian is about the linebacker position.
Okay.
Says, with Greenway likely to retire and considering how much work this offense will need this offseason, do you think it'd be better to have a position battle between Cole and Brothers and just have Eric play on the weak side of
Eric
the base
Kendricks.
4-3 instead of prioritizing what has essentially become a one-down linebacker now?
Really interesting question. Do you follow it? Here's what he's saying. Okay. So basically what he's saying is we don't know if Chad Greenway will be back or not, but let's operate under the premise that he's not back. So now you're losing a starter because Chad was a starting outside linebacker in the 4-3. So his deal is, do we go and look for a new outside linebacker or do we just slide Kendricks over to play the outside and then have guys that we already have battle for the middle linebacker job, which is really kind of just a one down position because you're in sub packages so much that it's Barr and Kendricks on the field. So, you know, that's an interesting question because if you do that, you can basically cross linebacker off of your first five rounds list and focus on other positions instead. Interesting question. The thing that Brian is leaving out is you have guys like Edmund Robinson and Emmanuel Lemur. Who, you know, Emmanuel was a free agent signing from last year and Edmund Robinson was a draft pick from a couple years ago. So those are guys who could step in and play on the outside. So you could still prioritize other positions and forget about linebacker and let guys on your roster already, who are already there compete for spots without moving Kendricks over. So I think that this is one of those where we're going to have to let it play out and unfold over the course of the offseason. But I don't think the Vikings are bare. The cupboard is bare at linebacker. I think there are a lot of options there. you know, with Kentrell Brothers, with Emmanuel Lemur, with Edmund Robinson. There's some young players that the Vikings staff can mold. And if you look at what this defensive staff did with a guy like Danielle Hunter, who is a third-round pick, with a guy like Shamar Stephen, who was a seventh-round pick on the defensive line, it'd be great to get a story like that at linebacker with a guy like Edmund Robinson, who was a late-round pick, or Kentrell Brothers, who I think was a fifth-round pick. You know, if you can turn one of those guys into a player like Hunter or Shamar Stephen, you know, you're going to save yourself a roster spot, and you can use that high draft pick or high price free agent on another position. Cool question by Brian.
Very cool question. One of the many talking points.
Yes, this offseason. It will be. Vikings have a lot of them this offseason. Offseason has just begun, but as we've discussed here on the Wobcast, there's lots going on around this team right now. We have five defensive starters in the Pro Bowl, Nate. I mean, is that good?
That's not a bad reputation.
That's awesome. Yeah. Plus, Cordarrelle is there too as a kickoff returner. So six Vikings in the Pro Bowl. That game's coming up this weekend, as is the Senior Bowl. I hope all of you have some time to catch some of the coverage of that over the weekend. And whether you do or you don't, you should definitely go to thevikings.com and the Vikings app, because we have our own coverage of the build-up to each of those events right now. So you can catch all that from our crews who are in Orlando and Mobile. All right. That's it for this edition of the Wobcast. Thank you, Nate. Good job.
Thank you. Thank you to our crews in Mobile, yeah, Alabama, and, yeah, Orlando for doing a lot of this work for us.
Yeah, they're doing
gathering
great.
A lot of the sound.
They're doing
we
great.
We appreciate that.
We do appreciate that. A month from now, yours truly and producer Nate Vaughn will be in
sunny Indianapolis.
Indianapolis. At the 2017 NFL Scouting Combine, voice of the Vikings, Paul Allen, will also be there. He'll do his radio show from Radio Row at the Combine 2 days during that week. So that's, you know, 3.5-4 weeks from now. Lots to get to before then, however, and we'll start that process next week with another edition of the Wobcast. So until then, I'm your host, Mike Wobshaw. On behalf of producer Nate Vaughn, we're wishing you a great weekend, and we'll talk to you next week.
So, yeah, I start with. Yeah.